So I don't know about y'all, but worship wrecked me. So I kind of had to like walk away for a minute and just let the Lord deal with me for a few minutes before coming up here, because it was so powerful. You take this morning on top of all that was spoken last night. And it's so crazy because, I mean, we have this theme of faithful, and you would think that we all kind of like get together and just say, well, I'm going to give this scripture reference, and so you give this scripture reference, but that's all Holy Spirit. And so I was just kind of mind blown last night to hear Andy speaking and Pastor Tamara, and just watching how God weaves it all in. So first, I don't know where Elizabeth went. Thank you, Elizabeth. I love you. Y'all, this woman, I mean, I've watched her step into gifts over these years. I remember when Plant City started studies there, and just seeing that fire and leadership in her, and just watching all that God is doing in your life. I love you a whole lot. And I also want to thank, I'm so sad she's not here, y'all, but I want to thank Pastor Tamara, and I don't know if you're watching us, but we miss you, Pastor Tamara, and I don't know if we have it, but they actually made, just for me, a pint-sized Pastor Tamara so that she wouldn't have to, you know, we don't often see eye to eye when we're standing, and so this is what Pastor Tamara would look like if she were my height. But honestly, we really do miss her here, and I owe so much to Pastor Tamara. I don't know if she's going to stand up. She might take a nap. Okay. Well, we can send her back, actually. But I owe so much. I owe so much to her, because it is in sisterhood, it is in the, thank you, in this ministry that the Lord really started to bring meaningful, deep relationships with women. And if it weren't for the years that she walked with me and sharpened me, and other leaders in sisterhood as well that have become dear friends to me, I wouldn't even be able to be doing this morning. So I'm so thankful. All right. So this morning, y'all, I'm talking about my favorite subject, healing, pursuing freedom in Christ. I mean, that's what it's about. He is so faithful. He is faithful, ladies. But I think we have a tendency, or maybe it's just me, to forget that, especially when life gets hard. He's really faithful when we're on the mountaintop. But when we're in the valley, we forget. And I'm so thankful for scripture that kind of gives us some hope and comfort in that. The Israelites, you know, they were on top of the world. Andy was talking about that last night. It was amazing. Get us out of here. We want to be free. And then they're like, send us back. What did you do to us, God? But he is faithful. And if we press in and we push forward into his presence and freedom in him, then we get to watch his mercy and his grace wash over us, no matter what season we're in. So today I want to talk a little bit about why healing is so important, no matter where you are, whether you're in a summer season or a winter season. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to spend some time for the Holy Spirit to reveal some things to you that he may want to talk to you about today. And I'm going to give you a chance to lay some things down, maybe things that you don't even know you've got that you need to lay down. And then you're going to get to walk out those doors a little bit freer today. So we have some things for that. So that's what this is for later. If you also have a journal or something to write with, you're actually going to have time to kind of write in that. So we'll do some writing first. But then if God gives you anything, you'll put it on here. And then this is a handout for you to take home of just some key points of what I've talked about today. So you don't need this today unless you want to make notes on it and keep it for yourself, which is fine too. So Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Again. It's a simple verse, but it's so powerful, and it really just kind of talks about how God calls us to walk out our faith here in this broken world. It's saying, don't go backwards. He completed the work on the cross for you. Turn to one of your sisters and say, for you. Turn the other way, for you. For me, thank you, Jesus. So before we really get into the meat, I want to ask you a very simple question. Can I challenge you today? Do I have that permission? I need that permission. And here's why I ask. We love you. Sisterhood loves you. Pastor Tamra's heart is that every woman would have a safe place to heal, grow deeper in Christ, in a loving community, for this to be a safe place, right? If it weren't for those women, for me, who challenged me, who spoke things that maybe I couldn't see for myself, because he puts us in community for that, and nudge me to just dig a little bit deeper, take another look at myself, because I at times thought I was doing all right. They're like, no, you're not, actually. I wouldn't be able to have this talk with you today. So I'm thankful for those women, and so many of them are here this weekend. So let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, that I get to speak to your precious daughters today. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. You're so good, God, that you pursue us. You love us so perfectly. Lord, you lead us so well as we navigate these messy lives of ours, just trying to get closer to you. Holy Spirit, we posture ourselves now to hear as you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start with a little bit of my testimony, because Revelation says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's the best thing we have, sisters, is our testimony. And he uses it. He uses every life experience that we have. And he often uses it for our redemption. And then once we receive that, to help others receive the same. So I happily share the good, the bad, and the ugly, because I know that God has been in every bit of it. Hallelujah. So the first 29 years of my life could probably be summed up to some really cool experiences, but then mostly just really bad choices. I grew up in a private school, and I was exposed to Jesus my whole childhood. So it wasn't for lack of knowledge, but I didn't have a personal relationship. I didn't know him personally to me. I knew who he was, and I knew that I wasn't racking up brownie points, but I didn't know how much he loved me. And so by the time I graduated high school, I was on my way to some serious addictions, and it wasn't far after that that I was full-blown in those addictions. Substance abuse, alcohol, other addictions. I was really broken, y'all. And what's funny is that if you look at most of my 20s on the outside, I actually looked pretty normal to most people. And a lot of people really didn't know that I had an issue until I decided to get help. So on the outside, I'm doing good, even successful in my career. And on the inside, I was dead. And I think we can probably relate to that, right? Not just with substance abuse, but just in our lives. On the inside, we are hopeless and defeated and frustrated. But we're walking around, putting that smile on, giving that church lingo. If I were any better, I'd be two people. That is not what he wants for our lives. For freedom, Christ set us free. But I do thank God for the exposure that he gave me to him at a young age, because he knows, right? And he plans, he sees everything in our lives. He's so sovereign. If it weren't for that exposure at a young age, then those seeds wouldn't have been planted, because when I found myself hopeless and at a rock bottom, I knew where to turn. And a rock bottom's different for all of us. I just want to explain what that is. It doesn't mean that you were in addictions per se to substances. It's spiritual, it's emotional, and sometimes it's physical. That was my physical bottom at that time. It's any area of your life where there is hopelessness. There's no, you don't see a way out. How are you going to fix this, God? And I can't do it. Where do we go from here? That's rock bottom. And so at that time for me, it was a physical one, and probably emotional and spiritual too. But the most pressing thing at that time was my physical life. And so I gave my life to the Lord and I surrendered. And in my mind at that time, and I think some of us have this kind of grandiose idea that when we give our lives to the Lord, that he's going to fix it all. And I wish I could tell you that from that moment on, life was like pure bliss. And if you've been walking with Jesus for more than a minute, you know that it's the opposite. It's rubber meets the road. And the deeper you go with him, it's rubber meets the road. Because he wants to connect even deeper with you. He wants to set you free even more. And so I learned at that time, 14 years ago, thinking that it was just to live physically, I learned that I needed it to just live everyday life and be okay. Because I learned that you can be living for Christ and not in Christ, and be spiritually dead on the inside. I've had moments of spiritual death and moments where he has breathed fresh life back into me. And that's kind of part of the journey. And it's why pursuing him is so important. And so the thing, as I was preparing this talk with you today, that stuck out to me was, man, the enemy starts early. Like if you're a parent, it feels obvious, especially today, like he's after our kids. But here's the thing, that's not new. He's been after children since the beginning of time. Because if he can get us at an early age and he can just plant seeds of destruction and dysfunction, then he has the opportunity. I'm not going to say that he can, but he has the opportunity to thwart purpose and plan. And what many of us don't realize is that what we are walking through, the dysfunction and the issues, the areas where we are triggered by trauma, all of those things can probably be tied back all the way back. If we give him access to everything, and once we're ready to take a look at all of that, and listen, maybe you had a really great upbringing, but that doesn't mean the enemy left us alone, and it doesn't mean that you didn't pick up a lie along the way that has shaped how you view the world today. And so we've got to present it all to him, good, bad, and ugly. Here it is, Lord. Is this right? Is this wrong? What do you have to say? Heal it, Jesus. And when we do that, when we go through the uncomfortable sifting of our life experiences, he delivers us from strongholds, some that we didn't even know we had, and he sets us free. And if we continue pursuing that, it's not a one-time thing. We get freer. And then we get freer. And there's like an infinite possibility of how free we get to get here on this earth before we get to be with Jesus for eternity. That's exciting. You know, there's the part of it that's scary, but also, wow, like how free can I get in Jesus' name? It's a lifelong process. And I want to say this. It doesn't slow down. It doesn't end. There's no point of arrival in this life. When you've reached a position of leadership in your career, when you're married or you have kids, once you're in ministry, I'm mature enough. Thank you very much. I don't need to grow anymore. That's a lie. It's a lie. May I never lose the wonder for you, Jesus. God, never take away the need that I have for you. The weller I get, Lord, show me a deeper need. And I would actually argue that it's easier to be deceived the more mature we become in Christ. Because here's the thing, for someone like me, it's pretty easy to see that I don't live the life that I led before. And hallelujah, that was terrible. It was literal hell for me. And so I'm living this, you know, relatively sanctified life, and I'm not doing all of these terrible things, and I love people, and I can show up to work today, and I can, you know, be a decent mama and a relatively okay wife on most days. And so, like, good job, Lord, I'm good. And that's pride. And I think a lot of us fall into that trap where we grow stagnant because we get to a place where we're just satisfied with the lives that we're leading. And then we forget, hey, there's more. My life isn't defined by the moment that he set me free from addiction. That was just the beginning. And for wherever you are, no matter where he's brought you from, those are testimonies that you have to share to give other women hope. But let me tell you, let me encourage you today. That's just the beginning. There's more. There were a lot of things. I want to say this really quickly. Man, I knew I would talk over, but I could just talk about this all day long. I just want to say this about healing. For me, there were a lot of things that the Lord took me back to more than once, more than twice, more than half a dozen, and more than a dozen times. And at some point, I said, God, that's enough. I'm healed enough in this area. What else is there? And then he would have me pick up the rock and flip it over. And inevitably, there would always be this new side that I hadn't seen before. And he would say, daughter, just take another look. And there are some things in my life where I had to go back a lot. Because of the life that I led, there were some really deep roots. And so he had to go back to the same moment many, 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 many times. And my pride for years in some of those things blocked my healing because I refused to take another look. If he brings it up, don't put it on a shelf. So Holy Spirit began to ask me, when you react that way, where did that come from? For me, it's a simple litmus test. Is my response from a place of healing, or is my response from a place of trauma and pain? And if it's trauma and pain, there's a root. But I want to say this. I want to clarify this. When I say pain, trauma and pain, I don't mean that you did something wrong. I know that some of you have experienced things in your life that you did not allow, that should not have happened to you. So when I say there's a root, I am not saying I should have done something differently or even that I could. But what I'm saying is that even in those unthinkable traumas, he can bring healing, deliverance, and forgiveness. So let him. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So the scripture has been on my heart from a book that I recently read. It was recommended to me by a friend. It's called Dangerous Prayers by Craig Rochelle. I don't have that in any notes, but highly recommend that book. And I was actually in a crisis season in my life Like, nothing is working. God, help me. I need you to show up. Maybe I need to pray differently, right? And the basis of the scripture in the book is finding these bold, audacious prayers. But I also think that scripture is vital to healing too, because we're giving access, and we have to give him access to our lives in order for him to heal the things inside of us. Every negative emotion is tied to an experience, and those experiences shape our reactions. But God is a redeemer, and he takes the things even that are so painful, and he works them for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. I love that scripture has just been tied throughout this weekend. We did not meet up about this, but it's so true. So maybe that's a life verse for some of you in this season that you're in. God wants us to be free. And he's asking for access today. So remember earlier when I asked you for permission to challenge you? All right, this is it. This is going to be a time for you and the Holy Spirit. And so if you have your journal, something to write with first, not the card yet. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. I'm just going to prompt you. And some of you are already, like, Holy Spirit has been bringing up moments and things in your life. And if he is, that's awesome. And if not, we're going to dig in and we're going to ask him. So first I want to pray, God, search our hearts now. Know our anxious thoughts. Holy Spirit, reveal the things in us that hinder us from having intimacy with you. Bring us to a moment. Show us the root of whatever we are struggling with today. And help us, Lord. Help us to be willing to walk through the pain of the roots in our heart so that we can flourish in you. Have your way, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So if he's bringing things to mind, you can begin to journal what he's speaking to you. If he's bringing moments, what were the lies that were built around those moments? And for some of you, it may feel like maybe there's nothing specifically coming to mind, and that's okay. I want you to ask yourself, Lord, am I fully pursuing you in this season? Do I walk in the zeal and passion for you that you find pleasing? And if not, show me that root, God. And maybe your answer is yes to that. And if that's you, and you are in a summer season, then begin to thank him. Thank him for the intimacy that you walk with. Thank him for the things, the ways that you can see him. And just spend this time with him. So we're going to give you a few minutes to do that. And then I will come back and we will move on to the next thing.
Thank you.
So you can just leave the music going. If you're still going, that's okay. I just kind of want to talk about this next part of what we're going to do. If you are going to Pastor Tamara and Julie's session next, then you'll hear a little bit more about Emmanuel journaling. But this is one of my favorite things. And so what I want you to do is whatever you've been writing, when you've finished, I want you to take a moment and be still. And just meditate on what it is that you're hearing and you're communicating and what you're receiving from your perspective. And then I want you to begin to write from his perspective. And as God speaks to you, write the love and the truth over the things that he's revealing to you about this. Encouragement, reassurance. Maybe he's giving you hope. But just let him speak for a few minutes and just write his heart on the pages. So continue writing for those of you that are finished. My final question for you, and this is where these come in handy. Is there anything that you need to let go of today? And maybe the Lord gave you a word, guilt, shame, fear, depression, insecurity. I want you to write that down if you feel like the Lord gave you something. And I want to give you an opportunity to walk out of here without it. Amen. So if you have something, write it down. And if we can have our prayer team come forward for this time, over here on the right, on my right, your left, and on my left and your right, there is a cross. So you can take that thing when you've written it down and fold it up and come right over here to this cross and leave it there. I would encourage you from that point to come receive agreement and prayer from these women? Sure. Where two or more are gathered, the Lord says, there he is among them. The Lord is here in this place. Holy Spirit is doing a deep work right now in some of you. And so we want to stand in agreement with you to the things that you are surrendering, and you're going to say, I won't pick this back up in Jesus' name. You can have it, Lord. Sometimes a physical act is so powerful when we partner with what is happening in the spirit. And so come down now. Now is the time to come down and then head over. And there are lots of amazing anointed women that want to pray with you.